about a virtuous wife or mother slash woman. Like I said in Sunday school, the correct political term is now called a birther. You're no longer called a mother, you're called a birther. You know, so I believe that motherhood is under attack today with this transgenderism and this, all this garbage out there. Expecting what? Our kids. We need to keep on praying for our kids. Yes, yours truly. I'm still trying to work with kids any way I can, as well as the older population. But, you know, these kids still have my attention. I have not given up on this, on our kids. And we love to have kids come here and just pray that people continue to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, I entitled this, What Mothers Deserve, because after you read all this, I'm going to be like the person, don't say this to my wife, but she likes to read the end of the story. She loves reading books, right? She reads them all the time. And she loves to read the end of the story before the beginning, because she knows what's going to happen. So maybe some of you who are avid readers like to do that. Well, we're going to do this here in Proverbs today. I'm going to tell you what mothers deserve. That's the title. And they deserve our obedience, respect, affection, wisdom, righteousness, and care. Now, with that being said, let's move on to Proverbs chapter 31, because after you read through this, and Paul had read it, but I want to do some more expose about these verses, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, they do. They absolutely do. They are precious. And so let me get started here. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? That means one with excellent character. Where are they out there today? Okay. Her worth is far above rubies. In other words, ruby back in that day was very hard to find. It was one of the most precious stones. You have your semi-precious stones, and you have your precious stones. And then you have those that are very hard to find, the real ones. I'm not talking about the machine-made ones today, okay? You get a lot of fakes out there. But a real woman, okay, who's got this kind of character, this godly character, she is just beautiful. I'm talking about her spirit, people, okay? I'm not talking about the outside, okay? She dresses what? To please the Lord. She dresses for her husband. She dresses for work. She does these things. But I'm talking about the inner beauty. That is, as a pastor, I love to see that in a woman, that she's living a godly life. She's not perfect, but she shines like a ruby. I mean, she put in the light, she just radiates out there. And people will be like, wow, she doesn't have to wear a bunch of fancy jewelry or, you know, do all this and that. She is just beautiful. Just on the inside, she's beautiful. So, thank God for that. So, verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts her. Okay? So, right away, there's that trust. You know, it's wonderful if you have a relationship with somebody who you know that you can 100% trust them. You know? And there's no question that comes along. Oh, yep, I'm good. Okay, I trust her because I know she trusts me. But also at the same time, that her character, her godliness is so manifest that you're like, okay, here we go. So the husband safely trusts her, so she will have no lack of gain. In other words, she's settled, she's stable, and she's satisfied. Again, she's settled. She's stable and she's satisfied at the moment, because at any time something may come up. It's just like a mole in the ground. You see them, they break up the earth, they mold their way in the ground, and the earth breaks up. Okay? Likewise, and they can destroy a garden. But she is settled and stable and satisfied when those things come that happen. By the way, you know, when you're all out there planting your gardens this late spring, you know, you're going to have issues. But she's on an even keel. She has a balanced mind. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all days of her life. In other words, she's out to make her children look good. She's out to make her husband look good. She's out to make her neighbors look good. She's out to make people look good. You know, and that's what I like. It's like a magnet. I draw the people who are sincere. It's like, you know what? I care about you and I want you to look good. I care about you. And you know what? I appreciate you want this, our lives to look good. There are people, you all here have that characteristics, that love. You want people to look good. You want your church to look good. You do everything possible through the Spirit of God to make it look good. Very thankful. Let me encourage you all. You do make the church look good. Okay? I'm not just talking about the building and the grounds. That's great and all this, that. But I'm talking about your character, your love for one another. Okay? And it says, verse 13, she seeks wool and flax. Wool is keeps her family warm, right? But flax is the idea of fine clothing. In other words, she makes sure that her loves and her life are looking good, okay? And they're dressed properly. Ah, she's not about, oh, you got one hair out of place, okay? She's about, hey, you look good. You're happy. You look happy today. You look good, okay? Keep it up. All right, so, and she is willing to the works with her hands. In other words, she is eagerly working with her hands all the time, and it's a delight to her. So if somebody says, well, you know, this person's just worked so hard, but yet you have to understand on the other side, that person doesn't know in the shadows before the Lord and your own personal relationship with him, there's an eagerness and a delight. You work unto the Lord. You get a delight out of it. You don't have to go to the movies. You know, I'm not going to touch that one. You don't have to go to different places to find your delight in your heart. But if you desire yourself in the Lord, I'll get it right. He will give you the desires of your heart. So, you know, you need to desire yourselves in the Lord, and he'll bring it all to pass. And it says here, and she's like the merchant ships that bring her food from afar. In other words, there's a healthy, and there's healthiness there. And economically, she's looking at things from afar. She's planning from afar. And as good mothers do, and everybody else in the family, if they're looking up to mom, you know, she knows the best thing to do. And, you know, somebody said, well, who should take care of the finances? I've seen it work both ways, okay? But I see that the man is the spiritual head of the household. If the man's not, then the woman has to be at times. I've seen that happen in many households. And if neither of them are, then sometimes the children have to pick up the slack. Okay? So, and if you have one in the family is on their own, well, they just, you know, they can get rescued by the church. Very thankful for the ministries we've had here over the years. And we're still praying about to come, that there will be people that will be coming with young ones. She also rises well in verse 15, yet night provides food for her household. In other words, and a portion for her maidservants. In other words, she has a schedule. And she also incorporates things, and mothers are natural born leaders. So they can incorporate, I'm talking about godly mothers here, who incorporate what? Schedules. And they also enlist other people to help. Because if you have a family, you want them all to have responsibilities, all work it out. So if one can't do it, somebody else can step up to the plate. We need to pray for Israel. I don't know why this Lord brought this to my mind, but we need to pray for them and for these college campuses, because things are getting out of hand. We need to pray for the peace of Israel. We need to pray for our government too. And I just have to say that because, you know, when things get out of hand, there's no order. There's disorder. There are problems. Like in a family today, there can be disorders and there can be problems because things are not structurally worked out in God's way, God's time. God gives us all wisdom. And thank God for mothers that they go ahead and they're good planners. Verse 17, she girds herself. Verse 16, she considers the fields and buys it, and her profits, she plants a vineyard. In other words, she's thrifty. She likes to invest. She knows when to say no, when to say yes. She knows too with her husband, or if she's by herself. She goes before the Lord and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me at this time. There is a lot on my plate, and God gives us things in order for us to be good stewards. That's what it's all about. Whatever responsibilities we have stewardship. I like one person said here at church, you know what? It's all about stewardship, everything that we have. And so we need to be accountable for that. She girds herself with strength. And I like that idea. It has the idea of she's girding her strength. It has in the Hebrew this word here, girding for battle. In other words, she's a warrior. She's a spiritual warrior. And I tell you what, you have a praying mother or a woman in that house, and you know what? Don't mess with it. She is the powerhouse. She is just doing things. And I tell you what, we need to have more of that. And also, she girds herself with strength and strength in her arms. She is preparing for the strenuous labor of the day. She knows that she has a lot on her plate. She knows that she can only do so much. But she knows that she keeps on trying. And she knows that God gives her the strength. So, you know, she's an example. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say she's an example here. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out at night. So she, in other words, her merchandise is good. And she constantly takes priorities in consideration, and she makes sure that she won't finish until she can't do any more. Sometimes, ladies, you can only do so much in a day. And somebody will read, again, let me re-emphasize this. Let me repeat this, that what mothers deserve, think about all that they have done. Think about what they're doing. Think about what they are capable. I would encourage everybody here today to encourage those women everywhere in this congregation, everywhere in the neighborhoods, people at work, et cetera, you try to encourage them, thank them, okay? Because they are the weaker vessel. God made it that way. And he made the male the stronger vessel. What? To beat on them? To hurt them? No. To go ahead, and to me, that's just somebody who's being evil, mean, and cruel. You love them as Christ loved the church. So that goes beyond our temperament, man. And it goes beyond what we can say or do, but we love them as Christ loved the church. And, you know, you can't go wrong with that. And so just remember, it's a spiritual battle also, but also think, too, that God can give us the grace, because nobody's perfect. And you know, we have a chance. And ladies, exhort the men in your life. You know, build them up. Say, I am so sorry. I was expecting too much of you. Okay? And sometimes guys are just naturally that way, you know. They just get the work done. And then, you know, they proceed from there. But anyway, moving on here. So she stretches out her hands, a distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. In other words, she likes to work with clothes. Back in that day, you had the wheel, and then you also had the stick, as they would call it. They would spin for their clothes. So there's always something going on. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches her hands to the needy. So there's always a need. I'm just amazed the ladies here at church always graciously stepped up to the plate, always wanted to help, always wanted to, never asked for gratitude or thanks. And yes, don't forget, we should always be thankful for them and tell them that. But they don't expect it. They just do it as unto the Lord. And so we need to encourage one another to keep on doing what you're doing, you know. And what would it be like without the mothers? Well, I wouldn't be here. I think all of us wouldn't be here. And we think of Eve You know, she is the mother first of all living, right? She is the mother first of all living. And so we're just very thankful for mothers here. So moving on down here, and in verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all the household is clothed with scarlet. You know, she's not afraid of danger. She's not. Okay, she's nobody's fool either. But she's not afraid of danger, because all that is fear. Now, there's a type of fear, godly fear. The beginning of fear of the Lord is wisdom, right? But she knows when to stop, and she knows when to start. And when it comes down to clothing herself with scarlet, I looked that up, and it has the idea of dark colors can keep the heat. That's why you don't want to be wearing black when you're outside, you know, when you're out cutting the grass, you're doing things outside, because it just retains the heat. You just don't do that. But then, of course, the idea of being clothed here, she protects, and she makes sure that they're double clothed. You have, and she will always say, make sure you wear layers today, because, you know, it's that way. And it's a wise thing, especially this time of year when the weather's up, down, you want to wear layers. So moving on here, verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself, which are clothes. And let me just say this, she also knows how to go out to the store and get good deals. Secondhand stores, you know, she knows what she's doing. That's why when Kimberly goes out, I just walk right behind her. And follow the leader, because she knows what to look for. And she'll ask me, what do you need, what you don't need. Mothers are like that. And how true it is, a mother here can help kids that are not her own. I have seen mothers in my neighborhood go out and help other kids, okay, in the neighborhood. Take them places, go to places, do things. Because some of the kids in my neighborhood have no, what you call fathers, let alone the mothers are so poor that they need that guidance. So you have other people who pick up the slack, just pick it up and help when they can. And so her clothing is fine linen and purple. In other words, it has the idea of being that royalty, that wonderful part there. And also her husband is known at the gates. He is well respected because the wife brings honor to her husband. You know, you have that balance between the two. And, you know, life can be, like I said, like a tightrope. And you feel like you're just right in the middle. You're going like this. You know, I'm going to make it, I'm not. You know, the Lord keeps us on that tightrope, the straight and the narrow. It's through Jesus Christ. And she keeps her eyes on the Lord, guys. And those here today, everybody, we just need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And spiritually, she is there to counteract, I don't think anybody would have achieved as much as they've done today if it wasn't for the other half, that other person, taking care of them and loving them and being there for him. It's a great love story. So moving down to verse 23, her husband is known at the gates when he sits among the elders. So there is encouragement and their support. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. In other words, she is a great working person who knows about business. She can take care of that. She's good at numbers. She's good at seeing things that other people don't see. Thank God for good mothers. And then it says that she makes, verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them, and then she supplies sashes for merchants. In other words, a sash was a belt, okay, because you wore a cloak, okay, around your robes, okay, back in that day. They didn't have just shirts and pants like we have today, or dresses. They wore it differently. So she looked for areas there to kind of like tie everything together. I'll put a spiritual point on it. Mothers are wonderful when it comes to bringing things together. The dads, yes, they take care of the spiritual role and providing, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? The mother has that kind of love that kind of brings it all together, which guys don't, okay? But we try. But they see things that we don't see. And they understand things far better in some areas than we do, because God made them that way to be a perfect helpmate. So it says here, strength and honor in her clothing. She rejoiced in the time to come. In other words, she's looking for the good in everything. Everything. Sometimes I'll just be looking at things and I'm like, it don't look right. I know it's not right. But then she'll look for the good in everything. Don't you see the colors? Don't you see this? Don't you see what God can do? And I'm like, you know, I never thought of it that way. Thank you. I appreciate that. As being my sister in the Lord, my wife in the Lord, or whatever, or your friend, or your whoever, you appreciate that. You give thanks. And you let people know, too, because, you know, some days they need to be encouraged. And strength and honor in her clothing, and rejoice in the time to come, verse 26, and she opens her mouth with wisdom. In other words, she speaks grace. Like, oh, I needed to hear that. Thank you so much. Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you so much. Okay? Always let our speech be seasoned with grace. And so that we can season one another and we can really taste that the Lord is good. And then her tongue is the law of kindness. In other words, she has the fruit of the Spirit. She may come across kind of boisterous or even very, very quiet. But you know what? She's got that fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that last week. You know, if you ask for wisdom from God, He'll give it to you. And, you know, the biggest problem is the flesh and the world, the devil gets in the way. But, she's like that tree of life. What is that tree of life? She has fruit. There's fruit there. And, wow, you know, and I'm talking about the inner fruit. Okay, it's there. And I need that. We all need that. We all need to be revived. We all need to be standing up, as the song says, stand up for Jesus. You know, these soldiers of the cross. And she, verse 27, and she watches over the ways of her household. In other words, she protects. She's always thinking. Sometimes, you know, she will even lose sleep at night because she's thinking. Bad part is when it keeps on going, you're like, okay, I got it, Lord, and your mind just doesn't stop. But she's always thinking how she can protect her family, even her neighbors, even her church, praying for her government. Okay? So she has a mission, which is not impossible. She has a mission. She's been called by God to be supportive, to be there. And it's all, you know, mothers are more than just birthing babies. Okay. And so her children rise up and call her blessed. Oh, excuse me. And verse 27, and does not eat the bread of idleness. I have to back up, so this is most important because guys can fall in this trap. Everybody can fall in this trap. In other words, they're not idle, so they become busybody. Has the idea of getting in the nose of other people's business or talking about other people, and then that's all they want to do. And then they gossip. And in other words, after a while, if you stop, if you have a chance to look at myself and say, okay, when do I stop talking about somebody? It was when the Lord says, shut it down. You're done. Don't talk about that person anymore. Okay? Not in a, might be talking about it in a good way, but if you start talking over, you get yourself in trouble. So a godly person will keep themselves busy out of other people's business. And when they're invited to come into their business, they'll be more than happy to help. Okay? Just give it time and trust the Lord and pray for the fruit of the Spirit. What is what? Patience. Be patient, right? And so her children rise up and call her blessed. Oh, they don't forget about mom's blessing. And also the husband praises for her. And, you know, the faithful love is there. We have a lot of faithful loves here today because you're faithful in the Lord. You're married to Christ, right? We all are, men and women and mothers and so on and so forth. But we are that faithful love that will stick to it to the very end. And thank God for you all. And many daughters have done well. In other words, I'm skipping a verse. Her husband also and praises her. Okay. And many daughters have done well. So there are many women out there. I'm sure have been many successes. Many mothers have been many successes out there and done well. But it says, but you excel them all. In other words, it goes back to Proverbs 31, verse 10. In other words, you shine. You shine. Even in your darkest moments, you still shine because you're a sinner too. Mothers are sinners too, saved by God's grace through faith. And so there is nothing to compare to that ruby. Charm is deceitful. In other words, you have women out there that are trophy wives. You ever heard of that expression? Sure. Guy will say, hey, look at this trophy wife. Woo! You know, and they marry them and end up having problems because this trophy here is not what I thought it was going to be. The biggest lie on earth is looking on the outside. You know, it's one thing you marry, you're attracted to this person, God calls you, get married. I got that. But it's another thing when you miss, you hear me now, you miss that inner beauty that a woman or a man has in the Lord. So charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. In other words, the beauty after a while fades. But you know what gets stronger and mighty and in the Lord is just awesome. I can't stop saying this. Is that ruby, that precious jewel that's in a woman, the inner woman. Okay. And so, ladies, keep on doing what you're doing. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised, obviously, because she's following the Lord. Where can you go wrong? Even though life is hard for everybody, it's very hard. But don't lose this precious promise here. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So, in other words, works speak louder than words. In other words, works speak louder than words. You're going to see what she's doing, even though you're not around her all the time. And, you know, or him or whoever, you're going to see the works that they're doing. You're like, you know what? God came through and God will keep on coming through. So because I said all this, what do mothers, deserve? Number one, they deserve obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1. So in other words, children and others, if dad's not being obedient to mom, and I'm not talking about the mom who's wearing the pants in the family, but I'm talking about if the children don't see a good example, they get confused. And then on top of that, they have to deal with everything else. So it's better for children to obey your parents and the Lord. And I have to say this, even if you're brought up in a godless household, it's better to do right. Do right, do right. Number two, with obedience, Solomon counseled his son, do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 1:8. So we need not to forsake the counsel because what? There's wisdom in counseling. Pray, moms, and pray, dads, as well, for your children and grandchildren, that they will continue to seek your counsel, even though they may have a mean streak or a rebellious streak in them, still pray for them, that God would bring them around. I've seen people over the years slowly come back to Christ. Why? Because of prayer. They never give up. They never give up. Don't give up on your neighbors, too. Even Jesus obeyed his mother as he was growing up, Luke 2:51. So Jesus was the example, the perfect, sinless Son of God. He also obeyed Joseph and Mary. So do we give up on mothers? Do we give our mothers, obedience they deserve? Number two, there is respect. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that they may be well with you and may live upon earth. Exodus 20:12 and Ephesians 2. So there is a promise, okay, that not in every case, because sometimes God calls people home for a purpose, but for the most part, if you're going to honor, statistically, God will bless your family. He'll take care of your family, okay? So there are promises there, precious promises, and God wanted to give this to us because, you know, when he died on the cross, you know, he fulfilled everything for us so that we could see that in him dying to himself so that we can pass that on to our children. And that gets into my next point here. Solomon warned of great consequences of those who curse their parents, Proverbs 20:20. So, in other words, if we're doing the best we can and we're following the Lord and our children are still rebellious, you know what? Moms are always there. They are always there because, and especially today, we're seeing more single parent households. They said statistically close to about a third, maybe it's not out, 3 out of 10 households, people are being brought up in some sections in the country by single parents. That's got to be tough. And kids get angry, and they get angry at their parents. Say why? Well, the parents have to keep on, or the parent has to keep on saying, thus saith the Lord, this is what the Bible says, and need to pray for single mothers, and so on and so forth. So there needs to be respect. Common decency demands that we respect our parents, especially mothers. So we give the respect. Number three, affection. Elijah demonstrated the affection properly due to his parents in 1 Kings 19, verse 20. So he ran over there and affectionately kissed his parents. And they do that back in the day. They give one kiss on one cheek and one on the other. Because there is affection. You know, it says in Peter, in the last days, there'll be less affection toward parents. You know, there'll be less respect, affection, normal feelings for your parents. So you grow up to love your parents. We see a lot less of that today. We have a lot of, you even have kids today that are suing their parents and got wrong things going on. But thank God there are those godly parents, those godly mothers that God puts in the way and say, hey, let me help you. I can't remember how many times that I've seen mothers do that to help bring their family back to the Lord. So, and then also there's wisdom. The foolish son is a grief to his mother. Okay, I'm saying this out of Proverbs 10:1 because you have three types of people here that moms have to put up with, and we all do. Number one is the simple. They are led astray easily. You ever have a simple son or a simple daughter? I hope not. Well, we were all at one time simple because if we're gullible, we're led astray. Maybe when we were younger, we didn't know any better. As we grew up, we're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I'm not going to forget. And then you had number two, the foolish. They know the truth, but yet they ignore it. They're very foolish. And then you have number three, you have the wise, because of pride, they're wise in their own eyes. There's more hope for a fool than there is for a person who's proud in their own eyes. So we have to be careful keeping our eyes, keep our eyes focused, right, and not get distracted. So we have to take these admonitions carefully. And then with wisdom, Jesus increased in wisdom as he grew from childhood to adulthood. Because why? He was that perfect child who, I'm not talking about a golden boy here. I'm talking about the Son of God who is perfect as an example. Remember, Jesus' brothers and sisters didn't believe in him, not until he went to the cross. Okay, after the resurrection, then they started to believe. Okay, so sometimes people have to see you go through the fire completely, sometimes two or three times go through the fire, and then they believe and say, well, because sin, because of the curse of sin on this world is very dark, but yet the light penetrates right through. So don't ever give up on yourself or on other people. Don't give up. And then you see here that much wisdom can come from advice of mother themselves to give. So they say, I've been there, done that, listen to me. And then fifthly, we have righteousness. What does mothers deserve? As we're wrapping this up here, it says, the righteous bring joy and gladness to the parents. So there's nothing more than a blessing for a parent to see the fruit, the workings in their child come to fruition. See, actually, hey, something is starting to happen here. It may have taken 20, 30 years. I don't know. Even for our grandkids, too, we need to pray for them because, oh, there's just so much thrown at them today at school, at home, and abroad. They need Jesus. all the time. And we need to bring joy and gladness. Hey, encouragement. And then it says here under righteousness, nothing makes mother more prouder than to have a good, righteous son or daughter. That's a blessing in itself. When you can say, yeah, they're saved. Or if they're not saved, you know what? We still need to work on this guy or this gal. We need to pray for, and we have people in our own family, for our mothers here today, that we're diligently praying for. And so, last but not least is the care. You know, when mothers get old and they can't take care of themselves, you know, that's when the family needs to come and take care of them, if that's what they want. Older people want to be left alone and go their own way. And I got that. As long as you take your medicine and you take care of yourself and you don't cause any problems, any red flags to go up with your neighbors around you, just be careful. Be careful. But keep your eyes on the Lord. Pray for wisdom. Parents, especially widow mothers, deserve our care. It was, I was reading in Timothy about, they were saying, look, you know, we'll take care of widows if we can do this, right? But also Paul admonishes, saying, look, if certain people in their own household can take care of them, that would be a good thing. That would be a good thing. So the work of God could go on. But at the same time, that church is there to be an umbrella over them, to protect them, to guide them, to be there for them at any time, any call. And then, of course, they deserve the best care we can afford to give them. And so we should give them all the care. So there's obedience, there's respect, affection, wisdom, righteousness, and care. Looking at Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, and this is the end of the message here, is that it continues on. So we continue to help them, you know, honor them, bless them, be there for them. And I just wanted to leave in one verse here in Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. This is very dear to me. So it says in Isaiah 46, 3 and 4, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. It has the idea of a birth situation, of a mother's birth that, you know, brings forth into this world. We talk about this in John chapter 3. You're born of what? Water from mother's womb. You're born of the Spirit, of God's Spirit. But Jesus is saying here to Israel, oh, Israel, Israel, I will carry you through even when you get older. So we have to look at what God does through Jesus Christ. And I was going to say here, and I'm going to close with this, and I usually don't do this, but there was a verse that I forgot to mention. And it's a very important one about Jesus Christ. It's talking about the scarlet clothing. It has about the scarlet worm. It's talking about Proverbs. We're talking about how a mother. And it's referring to Jesus Christ. It says, verse Psalm 22, you know, that's the messianic psalm. And it says here, but I am a worm, talking about our Lord, and no man, a reproach to man, despised by the people. And it has the idea of that worm back there on the bulletin board. Have you ever had time to read about the scarlet worm? They would use that, they'd take the, and I won't get into a long expose about it, but they would crush it down and they would get the red dye from this worm. And they use it in their clothing. Jesus is like that. He was crushed. He was completely given over as a sacrifice for us. And we can take comfort today that he paid for everything for our sins. And so we can look at the good in that scarlet worm. just as it was given for this cloth, it's a covering. I'm spiritualizing this. It's a cover for our sins. Though your sins were like scarlet, you know, I'll make them white as snow. So God covers. God takes care of that. And he wants to keep us and cover us. And he wants us to be content. And mothers, I think, you know, we need to pray that motherhood is on the attack. The way this agenda is going, we need to pray for the way that God has made things, that God will continue to keep us and uphold us. God bless you mothers here who have an impeccable character and great integrity and that are loyal and trustworthy. And on the list, and the list will go on. I know those are goals. I know, humanly speaking, we can't do it without the grace of God. We can't, because we know at the end of the day, we ask ourselves, you know, I've been a failure today. But you know what? Remember, God looks at all the good in us. He understands he's forgiven us. And guess what? He's working on me, being what I ought to be. I can count the moon and the stars. He's still working on me. That child song, he's still working on me. So we need to have that childlike faith. And so I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. And thank you, mothers. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can remember. There's so many passages, so much I could say about mothers this morning. But Lord, we thank you so much for giving us the spiritual birth. We thank you for the physical birth through mothers. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that they have done. And they should be given a reward to at least one day out of the year in remembrance. So thank you that you reminded me of this. And you would not let me get up that day without getting it right with you. And I'm thankful for that. Because we all struggle with ourselves, I thank you that I could spend time with you and the motherhood. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to bless all the women here. It's their special day. Lord, let them know they are appreciated, they are loved. And Lord, if they need loving, help us to show some loving. Help us to show some hugging, loving, you know, however you want to phrase it. Lord, we thank you for the godly ones. We pray for those, Lord, who don't know you as Savior, Lord Jesus, that realize that that blood was shed, that worm, that crimson worm, Lord, as picture of Psalms 22:6, Lord, that is a picture of you, the shedding of your blood. And what you've done for us. And we thank you for that. That you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness of sin. And we just look by faith. We thank you. Help us continue to bear our crosses, to march on, to keep the joy of the Lord in our heart, to bear much fruit, to keep aside those things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we give you all thanks and praise for your soon coming return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.